Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Do not confuse this with treatment or mental health advice or direction. Nothing on this podcast is made to supplement or supersede the relationship and direction of your mental health caretakers. Although David Koslowski is a licensed marriage and family therapist, he is not functioning as a certified mental health professional in this environment. And same applies to any professional who may appear on the OG Therapy Podcast. Welcome to the OG Therapy.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of OG Therapy. And today's episode is part 2 for all you back-to-school parents. Now, I'm going to highlight 3 specific things today, 2 things that I want you to use to help your kids, and 1 thing I want you to use to help yourself. Okay. So the first one is what I call old habits die hard. Now, it's an old saying. Most of you parents, unless you're pretty young, you've probably heard that saying before. Basically, what I'm referring to is your kids have had a habit probably throughout the summer of using all their free time, or at least a lot of their free time, just to veg and chill. And most teens and most kids will say things to their parents. Their parents are like, what have you done all day? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And she's like, oh, it's the summer. I'm just trying to chill, relax. You know, I got to rest before I go back to school. When I go back to school. And then now you're going to notice that they're going to want to keep on opting out of certain family activities, certain social situations, all for the comfort of their blankie, their cell phone, which for many kids is their blankie, video games, whatever their go-to distraction is. And so to help them with this, it's up to you as parents to make sure that you don't freak out in these particular moments. You don't cause a big ruckus and just get after them and remind them about how lazy they are. No. You don't want to do that. You want to actually play it cool. What I mean by this is a lot of the parents I've worked with throughout the years, when they have a right to be mad about something, like they look at their kids' screen time from the summertime and they're telling them, hey, you're not going to be able to do this during the school time. We're going to have harder restrictions. And then as soon as the school season starts, school year starts, the kids start, you know, hey, can I do this? Can I do that? And they want to keep that summer vibe and that summer freedom and just energy going. And so a lot of times parents will lecture at those moments. Parents will take that as a shot to be like, oh, no, you're not getting away with this. And how many times I tell you? And so what parents will do is the kid will ask for things that the parent's irritated about. The kids will push the envelope a little bit and start to annoy their parents. And parents will take that personal. So then they turn back to their kids and then they start to question them. They start to interrogate them. And then it can become, you know, an argument contentious pretty quickly. So what I tell parents to do is just play it cool. You don't have to save your kids from discomfort. Just because they roll their eyes doesn't mean that you have to roll your eyes at them rolling their eyes. Or if you get mad at them rolling their eyes, it's almost like you're expecting them to not be teenagers. You're expecting them to just be like, yes, I will whistle as I work, even though I don't want to do homework and I'd rather be on my phone. I'm going to give you my cell phone. I'm going to go in a common area so the whole entire family can see how hard I'm working. I'm going to do that the first week back to school. Maybe you got one of those kids. Most of the teenagers, most of the families I know, and also people I work with professionally, that usually isn't the case. It'll be usually this power struggle, this fight back and forth. So I want you parents to remember, just play it cool. If you want your kids to stay involved with some family time, if you want them to go and do some things after school, if they're kind of ho-humming about and they don't want to do. Don't be like, why don't you want to do it? Well, I thought you had friends there. I thought these people like you, this and that. They're, if they're teenagers, which if you're listening to this, this is the teenager episode. The K to sixth grade episode was last week. If you've got teenagers, just keep going. Don't stop and turn around and try to make sense of their nonsense. Don't try to teach them a lesson at that particular moment. They're not open for being taught at that moment. You see, the thing about teenagers, it's hard to teach someone something that they don't want to learn, even if they need to learn it. So you as a parent go, hey, I need to teach them this lesson. And you think that means you literally need to tell them over and over and repeat it what they need to do, not roll their eyes, have a better attitude. These are all just things that they're just going to struggle with at times. But if you make comments, if you pick at them or, you know, poke at them, I should say, if you kind of come at them sideways, then you're just going to get that same type of energy back. They're either going to shut down or they're going to come back at you and it's going to start an argument, a debate back and forth. Next thing you know, you don't have the energy to keep up the debate because they're younger, they're debating or they're arguing cardio is usually a lot better than most parents. And so then you just surrender and then you just build resentment. And then one day, maybe third week into the quarter, you check their grades online, you check their attendance, and they didn't do what they said they're going to do. Because every kid promises, hey, I'm going to do better this year than I did last year. Or if you got an A student kid, you know, that's probably not going to be the case. But for most kids, they're making claims that they're not going to make the same mistakes. They learn that they can't procrastinate, wait to the end of the quarter of the semester to do their homework. And they're going to make these promises. But by the third week, when that doesn't pan out, a lot of parents start to get pissed off and irritated. I'm telling you guys, just play it cool. Keep on moving forward. If you have to give consequences for the type of behavior I'm talking to you about right now, that's fine. Just don't make it personal. What I mean by don't make it personal, don't sit there and lecture them for 10 minutes. I'm taking away your cell phone. I'm doing this because this, this, and that, and the other. Go like this. Hey, I don't want to get all over you because you're a teenager now. I'm not going to sit here and threaten you. I know in the past I used to go, if you don't do this, I'm going to take away your phone. So I'll tell you what, I'll give you another week. If your attendance or things at school, missing assignments don't get better, then we're going to have a talk about what you're going to have to do to earn your phone back. Play it cool. Don't show your hand. This is poker. If you get emotional and you show your hand, your kids are master manipulators. Not master manipulators. They're too young. They're not that smart. Your kids are manipulators because they're teenagers. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that in a literal way. It was on the test that it'd take to become a licensed marriage and family therapist. Teenagers are disruptors. They're supposed to shake things up in the family. They're supposed to bring things from the outside world, challenge the family worldview, challenge the way the family does things, and see if they can, you know, make some changes to help the family grow and evolve. Now, teenagers aren't doing it for that purpose. They're not consciously thinking that they're doing this to help the family, but that's what's happening. Okay, so next thing, if they have friends you do not like, this is a big issue. A lot of parents will tell me they're worried about who their kids hang out with or friends they start bringing home, like new friends that they just met, especially if the kids have been kind of ousted out of a friend group or they don't have a solid friend group. Sometimes kids will just attach themselves or latch on to other kids. And parents are like, ooh, that kid dress is kind of weird. You know, they got some, I don't know, something about them. Maybe the way they talk. Maybe they saw that kid vaping when they picked up their kid from school. If you as a parent go straight to trying to question your kids' friendships, to try to question them right off the jump before you make a connection or give any props or any sort of compliments to your kids' friends, then you're taking a big gamble, taking a big risk. This one I call don't hate, congratulate. I use that term for a couple different things I do as a therapist, but don't hate, congratulate. In this situation, just simply means don't hate on your kids' friends. Try to find ways to give them some sort of boost up, some sort of compliment. All right. One example I can think of, this one mom, she was picking up her daughter first day of school. It wasn't this year, it was years ago. First day of school, I believe it was like eighth or ninth grade. And when she shows up and she sees her talking to like some random girl or whatever, right? And all of a sudden the girl sees a guy, runs up to the guy, jumps up, throws her arms and legs around the guy and just starts kissing him all over his neck. Ah! Like really out there, public display of affection. And then the girl stopped, saw that her friend was walking away, the friend that the mom was picking up, runs over to the friend and gives her a big hug and a kiss, say, see you later, let's hang out this weekend, or blah, 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 gets in the car. And the first thing the mom did was, who's that? And she goes, oh, that's, let's just say, Becky. Yeah, she's a little much, don't you think? Well, mom didn't realize is that she just connected with that girl, and that girl made her feel comfortable in a class where she didn't know anybody, and she's so relieved she made a good friend, and the girl was really cool to her, really nice. So now the daughter got defensive. She was like, what are you talking about? Like, she's really nice and really cool. The mom made a judgment on this girl, and who knows, maybe the mom was right, but she made a judgment on the girl. She's too quick to tell her daughter something that she was hoping to try to disconnect the daughter from that girl. It's kind of like when girls sometimes, and I'm just kind of comparing this to like what teenagers told me. It's like sometimes a girl, she's got a good friend, and all of a sudden that good friend meets a guy and she starts to have a crush on the guy. And then the other friend doesn't want to lose her friend, so she starts throwing shade on that guy. It's like, I don't know, I've heard a lot of things about him. And she's just trying to get that girl, friend of hers, to not spend time with the guy and to spend time with her because it's safer for her. Parents do the same thing. When kids are in unknown, we don't really know how to handle that situation. Like our friends' kids or our kids' friends, I should say. We don't know how to handle that situation. So we go quickly into throwing doubt, trying to disrupt the relationship. Now, if you ask most parents, like I asked that mom, she goes, well, I wasn't trying to cause her to not be friends with her. I was just telling her what I saw and how I noticed it. And I'm telling you, and I just like I told it parents, keep it to yourself at that moment. Play it cool. Don't show your hand, because you can not like a girl or a kid that your kid's friends with. You can have like all your spider senses going off and thinking, ooh, I got to keep my kid away from this kid. And you don't have to make it obvious and show it up front. If you play it cool and you try to be more accepting and, you know, a little bit more inviting with some of your kid's friends, then when you do have criticism, it can be subtle. It can be more nonchalant. It's like, yeah, you know what? I noticed that you're right. Like that one friend, she's cool. She's nice. She has all the things, but she's a little bossy. I mean, I'm not saying she's a bad person, but just kind of notice that. Mic drop, walk away. If your kid is like complaining about them being a little bossy and you start throwing shade on them, then your kid's going to get confused. I might need to defend my friend because I'm just complaining about my friend. I don't want to get rid of the friend quite yet. So parents, don't go too quickly to that decision. Remember, don't hate, congratulate, befriend them, or at least play like you're befriending them. Play it cool. And that way, if you do have to help your kid get out of that relationship, they're definitely going to listen to you a lot better because you weren't against that friend off the jump. Okay, the last one is for the kids as well. I've been preaching this, talking about this for many, many years. The most important thing at school has never been schoolwork. Now, that's why you're there. That's the intention of you being there, but it's never been schoolwork. It's always been social. If you are a parent that has a kid that's not social, I'm going to tell you a quick little tip. If you have a parent that's a kid that's super social, I'm going to also tell you another tip, because those are two different situations. If your kid's not very social, don't let them get back into the habits of isolating themselves like maybe they did during the summer, maybe they've done in years past. In order to help them this very first couple weeks of school, you're going to have to make sure that every time they come home from school, every time they have some downtime, you're going to want to make sure that when they want to veg out on their devices, that you have other opportunities, other things for them to do. So encourage them to sign up in clubs. If there's a club and there's something social that drives them to be there, it's easier to nudge them to do something that's more social. The only thing that can combat, and it's not always an easy sell. The only thing that can combat the argument with your kids to just veg out and do nothing is that they have something that's more exciting and they're not necessarily bored. Now, I don't want you parents with teenagers running around like a chicken with your head cut off trying to make sure your kids are never bored, because they will say they're bored just when they just can't think of something to do for a couple seconds. So when teenagers say that they're bored now, I just tell them, hey, you know, when you say you're bored, you know what that really means? They go, what? It's like, that's an invitation to do something. See, boredom didn't exist hundreds of years ago, 1,000 years ago. When I say it didn't exist, not in the way it exists now. Teenagers are like, I'm so bored. My brain doesn't have anything to like totally just lock in and veg out on that I don't really have to think that much about. So to combat that boredom, you want to make sure that you're setting your kids up with social things. If they're in sports, boom, that's an easy one. If they're not in sports and they're just, you know, like let's say you have a kid just into video games. Well, if they're a teenager, get them into the video game club at schools. I know there's lots of sports video game clubs. There's lots of other different types of video game clubs. Get them involved in something. Music, art, something that they actually enjoy to do outside of video games and try to find a way to balance it. And if it works out, they really get into it, you can use that as a carrot over their head to motivate them to be able to get more free time on video games. I know a lot of parents, they say, all right, if you, the more time you spend out social with your friends, like this one mom, she drops her daughter off at this group of friends' house, and she can only be there for like 30 minutes and she wants to start texting coming home. So she just makes deals with their daughter. The longer you stay out, the more I'll give you time on, you know, your favorite app, or the more I'll give you time here and there. Now, if you have older teens, maybe you're not that as strict with their phones and stuff, but try to make deals with them to be more social. The point I'm trying to make is that a lot of shy kids, a lot of introverted kids, their social cardio is really bad. Now let's talk about, so I want you to help your kids find ways to increase and improve their social cardio, even if you got to make little deals with them to give them things that you don't really want to give them. I would suggest making deals or figuring out a deal that's mutually beneficial for both of you, because being social and getting better at being social and being able to be social for longer period of times is mucho importante. Now for you parents that have kids that are more extroverted, the kids who have tons of friends. In fact, they have too many friends. They're involved in all their friends' drama, right? Those are the kids you want to give them opportunities to do things that settle and calm their brain down. A little bit of a dopamine detox, okay? A dopamine fast, so to speak. So I guess this could work for the kids who are introverted too, but I'm going to focus more on the kids who are extroverted. The dopamine sometimes, the high, which that's what dopamine gives you, if you weren't aware of that by some chance. That's where the word dope comes from, in case you weren't familiar with that. So the dopamine high for really social kids comes from that social energy. So that means that social energy is going to be them wanting to keep in contact with their friends all the time on the phone. Those are the kids that have a hard time going to bed because they have FOMO. They do not want to miss out on anything. Those are the kids that you're going to want to make them deals and bribe them to be less social. And I don't mean less social in the ways that, like, to not hang out with their best friends and have intimate social time, to be less surface social. Surface social, just trying to keep tons of friends and make everybody happy and know what everybody's going on, that can be very exhausting, and it's not going to leave your kid with a lot of time and energy to do their homework and to do more self-care, to kind of be... They need to be more introverted. They need to think more inwardly. So to help them be less social on the surface level, you want to set up situations where they can be more social on an individual level. Try to identify one of their friends and try to see if you can encourage them or set up things that'll be hard for them to turn down where they could just have time with just one of their friends. The reason why I tell a lot of parents this with kids who are extremely or excessively social is that there is something about certain kids' personalities where they want to keep everybody happy. Well, those kids have a harder time building and forming deeper relationships. So it kind of comes from the same place as the introverted kids, meaning the introverted kids, they tend to struggle in social situations because they're scared to take their shot because they don't want to look stupid in the public. The more extroverted kids, they have taken lots of shots. They feel comfortable walking and say, hey, what's up? Dapping other kids up. You know, what's up, bro? They got a bunch of one-liners. Yeah, that's lit. You're sick. You know, they get all the cool swag, you know, terms and all the stuff like that. But those kids, they don't know how to sit still and just have a conversation. Or that's not the skill that they've developed the best, is the more deeper conversations. So to encourage that, whatever friends they have that are a little bit deeper, when your kid's going through something, encourage them to open up to that friend. Encourage them to have conversations and more of those one-on-one hangouts instead of just trying to please the whole entire world, because those kids have a full-time job. Those are the kids always counting their likes and their followers online. They're always trying to think about, if I can get this person to follow me, then I can get, you know, some social credit score points. Those kids are exhausting their resources trying to make sure that they're checking every social box, which does not allow them to have more fortified, deep social relationships. Again, I want you to make deals with those types of kids to encourage them to be more social on a depth level instead of on the just, hey, try to be everyone's best friend level. Okay, guys, that's our episode for today. Back to School for Teens. Have a few things on there for you guys to review. We'll cut up a couple reels for this to make it a little bit easier for you to share with your friends. But until then, remember, follow us on all social media platforms. Well, not Facebook, but Instagram, TikTok, Yeah, well, those two. I shouldn't say all social media platforms. You can follow us and listen to us on all podcast platforms. Share, like, subscribe, leave a review, only if it's a good review. If it's a bad review, just think bad thoughts about the podcast. Please don't write anything down. I'm just kidding. But until next time, be cool.